The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
This is Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hello, my friends. Hello, people that I truly appreciate. I actually do. Actually, thank God for you guys every single day. It is my pleasure to be here and do this radio show 6 out of 7 days a week. Golly, Bob, howdy, can you believe we're this lucky? It really is an honor, and I'm so happy you're here, and I hope you will join me today, because there's a bunch of dumb stuff going on that we have to talk about, and there's some serious things we have to discuss. And now that this pesky Obamacare thing is out of the way, we can finally get back to Russia, right? We can finally, thank God, we can get back to chasing the connection with Russia. Oh, right, I am happy about that. If you're with me, raise your hand. Yes, thank you. I see you all. Just a crazy, crazy thing. Now, we can really focus on that. I witnessed something just a little bit ago, just before the show, with CNN exposing yet another really strange obsession. I'm not sure I completely understand it, but we will get to that. And we have to open up the discussion on today's vital question. Yeah, I know I'm going to get to what's going on with the Obamacare thing, because. But I figured you all have heard about it by now, because it died last night. The repeal and replace, the GOP efforts to put in a new health care bill, died a very painful death last night. It's over, Johnny. Let it go. What a screw up. What a gigantic waste of 7 years and what is it, 179 days of the current administration. What a gigantic waste of time. It just frustrates me. And it allows the Democrats to take a victory lap. It allows Chuck Schumer. This is part of the problem that really irritates me in all this. It allows Schumer to walk out in front of all of the cameras and step into the well of the Senate and gloat. And, you know, he's grinning like a crap-eating possum with a rusty fork. Pardon my Texas French. Schumer out there. I don't want to play too much, because some of you will go running away. It's kind of like playing Hillary's voice and Mark's cat goes crazy and tears up the house. But this is Chuck Schumer from just a short time ago in the Senate.
It should be crystal clear to everyone on the other side of the aisle that the core of the bill is unworkable. It's time to move on.
Duh.
It's time to start over. Rather than repeating the same failed partisan process yet again, Republicans should work with Democrats on a bill that lowers premiums, provides long-term stability to the markets, and improves our health care system.
Oh, yeah, like the bill that you guys gave us that lowered our health care costs by an average of $2,500 a year, that allowed us to keep our doctor if we liked our doctor. All of that was going to be so good. I wish somebody would just take that piece of paper and wad it up and feed it to him. Notice I didn't say anything violent like shove it down his gloating throat. I just said feed it to him. It's lunchtime. Many in the Senate are having lunch right now. I think that would be appropriate. It's just so irritating to see these statements being allowed to pass without anybody having a hair on their butt to stand up and say, no, stop it. Really, really nerve-wracking. There was a little bit of gloating on the GOP side, but I have to tell you, I think as much as I understand it and his desire to do it, I don't think Paul Ryan's gloating is helping. I don't think this Well, you know, he's allowed to do it, but I don't know if this is helpful either.
Well, we'd like to see the Senate move on something. We are proud of the bill that we passed. We passed a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare, to replace it with a better system. But as you well know, the legislative process, for it to work, House has to pass a bill. We've done that. The Senate's got to pass a bill for us to even move the process forward. That's the next step. So we're hoping that they can achieve that next step so that we can bring real relief. Here's the problem.
First of all, the neener, neener, neener part of that, it's a little irritating, Paul Ryan. I know you managed to get a bill through. It wasn't that great of a bill either. Neither one of you was able to accomplish the stated goal, the promised goal. So, you know, to do this, I don't know if this is exactly a helpful thing. I'm just saying, Paul Ryan, I'll let you continue.
Obamacare is in the middle of a tailspin. This law is collapsing. So we've got a promise to keep, and also we need to step ahead of the problem that this law is collapsing. More and more people don't even have any choices left, or even one choice. 41% of the counties in America have no competition in health insurance. They have one health insurer left. Premiums have doubled. Options are disappearing. Many counties in America now have no health insurers left. So that is just the stark reality of the moment. And so we're hopeful that the Senate can take the pause that they need to take and move forward on this issue so we can get something done. I'm worried that Obamacare will stand and the law will continue to collapse and people will get hurt in the process.
Here's the fact. Here's the reality. And here's where they screwed up. One of the ways the GOP screwed up. What the Democrats built and imposed on the nation with Obamacare, I think it was bigger than any of them figured out. We knew, you knew, I knew, Glenn knew. Most people who looked at the bill and looked at the structure that was placed on top of the American government understood what this was. It was not meant to lower healthcare costs. It was not meant to keep your doctor in business. All of this was meant to do was to strangle the system to where everybody would scream, fix it, not get rid of it, not dig the weeds out of the garden, fix it. So ultimately, we will end up with worse healthcare than we had, at a higher cost, but there will be one thing about it that is good if your job requires on you getting elected to keep your job. It will be all controlled by government. It will be all about power and control and overreach and being in your life in every single corner of it. It will be about telling you which doctor you can go to. It will be about seeing. You want to see what this is going to be? You want to see what Obamacare is going to be? Because you're never getting rid of it. I know McConnell says we're going to repeal it and then have a 2-year time to replace it with something. Not happening. Susan Collins has already said no. You can only lose one more, and there are half a dozen senators lined up saying, I'm a yes if, which means they're a no. They're just not ready to say it yet. You're never getting rid of Obamacare. We are never, ever getting back together with our old healthcare system. It's just not going to happen. The greatest healthcare system in the world has been destroyed. Thank you, Democrats. Thank you, Republicans, for not realizing the tentacles of this thing had wrapped themselves around you and squeezed you. It's so infuriating to see this. They're not going to do it. I know Glenn was talking about the fact that the bill had been done countless times before to repeal and hand it to Obama, and he went through the process of going to veto it, or the Senate went through the process of killing it. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get it done. So you want to see? You want to see what Obamacare is going to look like in a few years, or if it's going to become Obama-Trump care, some sort of hybrid that happens? Do you want to see? Just look no further than the VA. Look no further. The VA is single payer. It is the starter kit for what we're going to see happen. It really is. And if you think the tragedy of 22 vets a day taking their lives because they can't get the care we promised them is terrible, think of how many frustrated citizens will take their own lives because they can't get the help they need from the government healthcare program. Because it's just not there. There just isn't a budget for it. The government administrator says you can't do it. It really is a frightening reality. And I don't mean to open the show as Corporal Cranky Pants today, as I was accused of this morning by more than one person. But this really is a point at which I want the Senate to say, just stop lying to us. Because the time we've wasted, the 179 days already of this administration that we have wasted, they always said that we're not going to get tax reform until we get health care reform. So I guess that means, guess what? Even if you repeal it, you're not reforming it. So we're not getting tax reform. And we're not getting tax reform. So does that mean we're not going to get infrastructure reform? Does that mean you're not going to help businesses repatriate those $1 trillion worth of cash that are sitting offshore? Does all of that come crumbling down? Does the 17% increase in the stock market since the start of the year start crumbling away? Does the confidence in the dollar begin to diminish as we have seen in the last couple of days? Does the student loan bubble burst before the auto loan bubble burst? Because guess what? Both of those bubbles are out there too. I know. It's not a happy scenario to open the show. I'll find some good news. I promise you, I'll find some good news somewhere. But if you want to help, if you want to drag me out of this spiral, I'm in Obamacare death spiral right now. I just realized that. It just hit me. I am in an Obamacare death spiral. And I don't know what we can do about it. You want to help? Share your thought. Find a good story for me. 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. I need some good news from somebody. Share me a little bit of good news right now. This is Pure Opelka. I'll be right back.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. I know I came out of the blocks just mad about everything. And it's only because I am mad about everything. At least I have a beacon of hope. And yes, it's a client. It's actually a sponsor on this show. I'm going to remind you guys, as I do every single day, that if you're like me, if you're somebody who wore out certain parts of your body because you were very active and maybe you overdid it for a couple of decades, and you find yourself with inflammation causing pain in your joints, in your knees, your back, your hips, as was my case, I tried Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It comes in like little packets like vitamins. It makes such good sense. It's fish oils and it's turmeric and other natural ingredients that reduce the inflammation in the joints, which basically, in my case, eliminates the pain. I was looking at getting a knee transplant, maybe two. I started taking Relief Factor in April of this year. And look, it's the middle of July. I have been without any kind of pain relief medication since April 15th. Absolutely without it. Not a single one. You can put me on a lie detector, and it's all about Relief Factor. So check them out. ReliefFactor.com, or you can call them and talk to them. 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 is the phone number. Get the details on the three-week quick start pack. It's $19.95. I wish I'd have started earlier. I wish, like thousands of Blaze audience members who use it, I wish I'd have jumped sooner. But I'm happy with it today. I'm thrilled. I have my life back. I'm out crawling around the garden, running around the golf course, walking the new puppy. It's Relief Factor, relieffactor.com. Check it out. All right, back to my hooting and hollering, my ranting and raving, my problems today, because I'm very disturbed at basically the lack of any sort of unity in the GOP. There are small groups that are holding tight, and the Democrats are all together. They're all hands to the middle. So I don't understand it. I really don't. And I might have to leave it alone. I might have to get to the subject I wanted to get to earlier today, the one that will continue throughout the entire show. It's kind of a little silly subject, but I want you to weigh in on it. I'm a dog owner. We're dog owners. We're big supporters of rescue missions. You know, if someone's got a shelter and they're a kill shelter, I want them to I want them to A, stop the killing of the dogs, and B, when they adopt them out, I want those dogs spayed and neutered. And when you make a decision to get a dog in your life or a cat in your life, it's a big deal, and you have to be ready for it. I wasn't ready for it until late in my life. But when we got that dog, when we rescued that first dog that was the runt of the litter, probably going to be put down because she had a bad leg, we made the choice, and we decided to do it. And guess what? It's a dog. It's not a child. So whenever anybody stops me walking the dog and says, "Oh, look, you're walking your little dog. Is Daddy taking you for a walk?" I always stop and go, "Shh, hold on. I am not this animal's parent. I am this animal's owner. I am the alpha in this relationship. I provide food and shelter and training. I am not a parent of this dog." So don't, when you see me, if you see me with Tank, don't ask, is this your little baby? No, that's our dog. I'm not the daddy. But there's been a lot of discussion. I realize this has been going on for a while. And I think this is part of snowflake culture. And as a libertarian, I respect a company's right to offer whatever benefits they want to offer to attract employees. But there is a new and growing effort to tell companies to add a benefit for new pet owners. And I think it is just about the dumbest thing I've heard this week. I'm not kidding. I wish this weren't as dumb as it is. When we get back from the break, I'll discuss it and we'll open up the polling on this. And if you want to weigh in on it, if you know what I'm talking about, 888-900-3393, 888-900-3393. Join us. This is Pure Opelka.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Mike Opelka,
part of the next generation of talk radio on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. We are just about a half hour deep into the show, and my latest bout with my anger over what the GOP has done and what they're not doing and what they seem to be incapable of. So I changed gears and went to a topic that's got me a little ticked off today as well, but in a different way. And I think it's an important issue that we should talk about. I'm talking about something that Glenn and I have discussed at length over the past year and a half. It was about a year and a half ago. I said to Glenn, I saw this quote, this statement about we in this country have gotten so off track that instead of loving each other and using things, we now use things. Well, we should be using things. Instead of loving each other and using things, we love things and we use each other. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. And in the case of what we were just talking about, dogs, cats, your pets. A pet is not a child. A pet is in many cases, a luxury. In the rare cases, it's some sort of work animal that supports or helps you. But I would imagine in 99% of the cases, a pet is a luxury as a four-footed companion. But it will never take the place of a human being. And that's my outlook on things. We had a great dog for 17 years. And when she passed away a year and a month ago, it was a loss. But it wasn't like losing a child or a parent or a brother. It'll never be that close for me. And yeah, it was a great dog. Gracie was fantastic. But she was a dog. She was an animal that was in our life by choice. So when I read this case, and this all came out because today I heard a public service announcement that featured Jane Lynch. You know who Jane Lynch is. She is she's a comic actress. She's the host of some game show on television, but we first were introduced to her, most of us, on Glee. And she's a funny woman. But she's all out there now pushing this pitch to get companies to offer paid leave for a week for people who get a new pet. Now think about that. Okay, that's fine. If you're the person who says, all right, I'm going to get a new dog, and your company now has to pay you for a week of not being on your job, at your desk, doing whatever you do. And that means somebody else has to fill in or everybody else has to pick up the slack. But it's called paternity. Isn't that cute? Paternity leave. And Jane Lynch and others are all for this, saying that if someone's going to bring a dog or a cat into their life in order to make sure that that animal has a smooth transition and that home is properly set up, they're going to need a week. Well, first of all, anybody who's ever taken a new puppy or a dog that they may have fostered, as we have, you know that it takes longer than a week. So now, once we get paternity into the system, how much more are you going to ask for? How much longer are you going to need? After all, a child, that's, what is it, 12 weeks to 6 months in some cases, paid leave? And, you know, a puppy, really kind of like a child. Some of them need a little more attention than others. These are not people. These are pets. These are not humans. They are bonuses in your life. If you can afford one, if you have the luxury of time and money to take care of one. And the future of our country does not depend on more dogs. And yes, I realize we have shelters overrun with dogs and cats. Big proponent of telling people to go visit your shelter and adopt. huge proponent of it. I'm not a proponent of mandating paternity leave when somebody gets a new pet. Now, again, the libertarian in me says, if you are a company owner, if you are a company that says, hey, we are proud to announce that if you choose to add a pet to your life, we'll give you a week off to readjust and get your pet set up. That's fine if you're that company. But if you're then going to pass on the cost to me, the consumer, which is invariably what happens, because let's be honest, it costs money to make sure that your company keeps running because somebody's going to have to take a week off because they got a new pet. And I know there are people among us, Jeffy, who would then get a new pet every week or every other week. And there have to be reasonable restrictions. It's a mess. But again, what this is doing, this campaign for paternity leave, is doing nothing more than changing the relationship between people and things. We need to love people and make use of our things. And I know there's a big difference between a car and a dog, and they are things. They're both things in my life, but neither one will ever come close to a person. So that's the vital question of the day, and I've posted it on my Twitter account asking you where you stand on this vital question of the day. If a company, it's just crazy, Jane Lynch. Yeah, stay in your lane, Jane Lynch. Stay in your lane. Should companies offer paid paternity leave when employees get a new pet? It's currently 6% of you say yes, of course they should. 88% are saying no, stop this insanity. And 6% can't decide. That means there's 12% of you out there who really are having a tough time figuring this out. And again, dog lover, dog owner, we've rescued dogs on a large scale for months when we helped out a shelter down south where we were part of the Underhound Railroad. We worked to stop the gassing of dogs. But I'm sorry, if you're getting a pet that's your lifestyle choice, it's not an employer's obligation to provide you with paid leave. Because you know what, frankly, if I get a Ferrari, it's really going to take some time to get that Ferrari acclimated to my lifestyle, to my garage. I'm going to have to make sure I have enough time to give all the neighbors a ride before everybody settles down and goes, oh, he's got a Ferrari. So where does this all stop? Where does the obligation to keep coddling stop? It's a dog or a cat. It's not a human being. And on the flip side of this, eventually when that dog or cat leaves and crosses the Rainbow Bridge, as little Gracie did in May of 2016, that happens. There are now companies that are also giving bereavement days for the loss of a pet. I actually feel that's a little more important than the paternity. But I'm still not with it either. Again, private companies, your choice. Your choice. All I say is don't pass on the cost to me. Am I crazy? Am I out of control here? Where do you stand on paternity leave? 888-900-3393. 888-900-3393. You can tell me in person, or you can answer on the Twitter, as almost 200 of you have already. Join the discussion. Michael Pelka, Pure Opelka. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Michael Pelka on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
You know, I know it's an extreme position for me to take that I won't support this paternity, but I do support the company's right to try and come up with an idea like this. That's their right, just as it is the right of every consumer to say, no, we're not doing that, and then to move on and take your business elsewhere. I just have to assume when you start offering things like an in-house pizza kitchen, I know you're doing it to keep people in-house, but it's also adding to the cost of the stuff. But it's, again, libertarian, I got to step back and say, it's your choice. It's your deal. You can do whatever you want. By the way, I'm looking for happy moments and good stories that make me feel better about the world and my life, and I just stumbled into yet another one. I get a story sent to me from friends from New York City because we spent the better part of 20 plus years in New York City. And yesterday in New York, on the subway, a track fire stopped trains and left just hundreds and hundreds of people trapped underground waiting for trains to clear up. And not only was it a track fire, but also the track fire was started when a train carrying garbage spewed stuff all over the tracks, which means it was an underground track fire of garbage on the New York subway. I feel so much better about our decision to exit New York, so much better about our choice of leaving New York City. Aside from the fact that it's run by a communist, and aside from the fact that the people think it's great to be run by a communist, I do hope, as we talked last week, I do hope that the movement for some of these states to exit the union, I would love to see Calexit happen, or maybe California split up and our conservative friends get their own section. Maybe it's the section that grows the grapes for the wine. I'm just saying that would be helpful. And New York, you can have your own place too. As we now see, television can be made in many different places. Movies can be made in many different locations. You can walk around Las Vegas and see backdrops that look just like New York City. I'm just saying. So if any of these people want to check out and leave and stop letting us pay for all of their socialist beliefs, I would be okay with that. I would be absolutely fine with that. Another reason why I'd be okay with New York City checking out. This was sent to me by another friend. There was a Brooklyn woman who was having a difficult time because it seems like every few weeks she would get threatening letters from her cable provider, the gas company, the water department, her cell phone department, all saying, "Hey, why haven't you paid your bills, you deadbeat?" And she would call and say, I didn't get the bill. Yes, this is the third notice we've sent you, and you're just not paying your bills, so pay your bills. Well, it turns out that the postman brought her a pile of 30 or 40 envelopes that had been gnawed by an unidentified resident of the same street. You see, the postman would take the mail up to the top of the stoop of this Brooklyn townhouse and drop it right there. And the minute he would turn his back to go down the rest of the block on his route, a rat, yes, a rat, would steal the letters off the stoop and was building a nest just underneath the stoop. 30 to 40 letters. Yes, thank you. The one thing I need to know is that the rats are stealing the mail. That's never a good thing. Very happy to be living in the woods of Arden, Delaware, And coming to you live from the constitutionally protected free speech bunker here in the woods of Arden, Delaware, and not having to deal with rats that steal the mail. It's too much. I know. Coming up next hour, we're going to try and give you more updates, if there are any, on the shift in the GOP's plans now that Obamacare repeal and replace is dead in the water. Yes, you've all heard about repeal, but we don't know what the reality is behind it because you start with Susan Collins being against it. We have to get into this story about R. Kelly. There's also more news on Colin Kaepernick. And are you somebody who would like to date someone who looks like a celebrity? I know, I got questions about that too. There's something out there that we should talk about. It's kind of strange, but yet it's kind of something that, we should talk about it. And we'll do that around the corner. Mike Opelka and Pure Opelka, come on back after the news.
Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. This is Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. It is the start of the second hour here. For those of you following along at home, the Newport, Rhode Island Hall of Fame tennis tournament in the first round. America's favorite, Riley Opelka, is up against Lukas Lacko. I think he's a young Slovakian player, both very skilled players, and they're headed to a tiebreak in the first set. That's your sports update, everybody. Now back to the news. If you want to join the conversation today, 888-900-3393. We asked one vital question. I may continue the vital question parade with a second vital question today because we have an issue that we need to talk about. And there's an issue I want to rant about as well. There's a little something going on this week in Washington, D.C., and not that I'm the guy who understands the politics, but I understand the optics. See what I did there? Politics, optics. They're both ticks. And this week in Washington, D.C., the Trump administration is focusing on this whole Made in America thing. And I get it. I get that Make America Great Again was a good idea. And we need to be pushing America, America, America. That's wonderful. And we really need to try and get American companies revitalized. But that happens when you're able to offer some sort of break in terms of taxes, with the corporate tax rate being, what is it, the second highest in the world at 35%? It's better for companies. It's easier for companies to take their business elsewhere. And Donald Trump spent the better part of a year on the campaign trail talking about getting out there and eliminating the hurdles to having business happen here in America. He talked about removing some of the administrative blockades that were set up and taxes being one of them, corporate taxes being one of the problems. And we haven't been able to do that because we were told taxation reform, tax reform would follow the repeal and replace of Obamacare, health care. So that was going to be second on the list. And now we know what happened with health care reform. So guess what? We're not in good shape when it comes to what's going to happen here. And so we're in the Made in America week. And it's a whole week at the White House where they're going to be focusing on things made in America. And what do you think the Obama-loving, Trump-hating mainstream media has been doing? They have had a field day just setting up all the different products that the Trumps are involved with and showing how they're not made in America. Now, had Donald Trump or somebody in that administration been smart enough and planned it and taken the initiative and said, let's not do the Made in America week until you get tax reform set up, until you get that $3 or $4 trillion in money repatriated here, and until you get companies building better plants and rejuvenating manufacturing or anything that would bring new and better jobs here, let's not do a Made in America week. They did it backwards. They did it completely backwards. And so now all it does is set up this punching bag for the mainstream media to slam the administration. Yeah, it's all good to want it made in America, but when the people at the top, Ivanka and Mr. Trump himself, have products that are coming from overseas, it really looks dumb. And it just doesn't help. It just piles on to this ongoing discussion of why this administration is constantly shooting itself in the foot. I so want these guys to succeed. And they're going up against a very organized, very well-oiled Democratic machine that is going to do anything it can to prevent the Trump administration from being successful. I just saw a graphic that showed Donald Trump's appointments and the fact that getting his appointments approved are taking an average of 45 days. That 45 days of getting the people you nominate and cleared through the process, that is a record going back through the last 7 presidents. And so every time you hear Democrats saying, well, Donald Trump's got all these big jobs he isn't filling, why isn't he staffing up? Why doesn't he have these people? They think they can do it the best. But the Democrats are the ones denying them the access. 45 days, longer than anything Obama had to deal with. 45 days. So it's they've worked it out so beautifully. The Democrats are delaying the president in getting his stuff done and then calling him out for not staffing up. It's just perfect. That's the same thing with this Made in America week. It's just a foolish idea. Well, it's foolish execution of a great idea. Don't let me say that a Made in America promotion is a bad idea. That part I get. Yes, we should be tooting our own horn. We should be pushing jobs for Americans in America. But, you know, when you're the one whose ties and jewelry and whatever else are made overseas, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. And that's my little rant on Made in America. So every time I see all these pictures showing the president holding a Louisville Slugger, and then they show the Ivanka Trump Made in China blouse, it just, you're shooting yourselves in the foot. Come on, people. Cut it out. All right, we have to get to some of the other news that's going on here. Something cool happened yesterday. The United States military showed off a weapon that I think is just amazing. The U.S. military has the first laser weapon that is mounted. The Navy has it mounted on a ship. And one of the coolest things about this weapon is, first of all, its accuracy, because you can really focus it. You can actually take out a portion of a ship or a plane. You can target in a very fine attack with your powerful laser. You can also do it silently. You don't hear it coming. You know, if you're sending a bomb somewhere, you don't hear this silent laser hitting the target. They put out a little video on CNN. I should tweet out a link to it. You should hear this. Here's a little bit of the discussion about the Navy's laser, the first laser weapon.
Operationally, it works just like a laser pointer. There's a chamber inside with special materials that release photons.
So wait a minute. There's a chamber inside that releases photons, and I guess focuses the photons. Do you realize what's going on here? We now have Star Trek type weapons. We now have photon torpedoes firing. We have that going, which is fantastic. Oh, that's wonderful. I'll let them keep going because they have more explanation on this amazing weapon. It's very accurate.
If you're looking at a boat coming in over the water, you can target exactly the engine and take out exactly the engine and not necessarily damage anything else. So, and that type of precision weapon work is something that you don't really get with conventional weapons because there tends to be more collateral damage.
That's a very interesting thought, isn't it? You can disable the engine on a craft, and as such, you're not just going to kill people, but you're going to isolate them on the water, and then you also have access to their technology and their information. So this weapon truly is an amazing piece of technology. The world's first laser weapon. I'm going to tweet out a link to this. It's a little minute and a half video from CNN that's worth a look. And it's one of those things that when we talk about our defense system, it's one of the places the president does get high fives when he calls on Congress to increase the defense budget. He gets a lot of support from people like me saying, yes, we have to be strong. We have to be powerful. We have to have the best military in the world. And so it's one of those where I'll give him a thumbs up. Absolutely. Stepping aside early, when we come back, the president has made a couple statements on the health care vote, and we'll get that for you. There's also some news out of New Jersey, out of Chris Christie, and he has decided for whatever reason to weigh in on the Donald Trump Jr. meeting. He's decided he's got something to say about the Donald Trump Jr. meeting with the Russians, and now we know the identity of the eighth person in that room. That's been the focus of all the attention today on some of the mainstream media. Not that it matters, but Chris Christie's weighed in, and the president has spoken about health care, and we'll deal with all of that just around the corner on Pure Opelka.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. Pure Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. Just catching up on some of the headlines today. The eighth person identified at the Trump Tower meeting, Ike Kevalzadze. I gotta get this guy's name right. His first name is Ike, but now everyone is scrambling to get this going. And the interesting thing here that popped yesterday. I think it was late yesterday or very early today. It was just after midnight that New Jersey Governor Christie story broke that he told reporters on Monday, quote, "It's probably against the law," close quote, to get opposition research from a foreign country. And then he added another quote, "in addition to being inappropriate." So Chris Christie appears to be breaking ranks with President Trump on this one. Chris Christie appears to be saying, not a good idea to have this meeting. He did add, quote, "I think there's a law that says you can't get anything of value from a foreign government in those situations. This is why you have the Department of Justice to be able to do the kind of work that they typically do and will come to conclusions." So Christie also adds, and after you make a pretty damning statement like that, Christie adds, that he personally has not seen evidence of collusion between the Trump team and the Russian government. We'll get back to that because I believe we have a caller. It's our buddy from Pennsylvania. Is it our buddy from Pennsylvania? Is it James from Pennsylvania checking in? Hello? Come in. Oh, it's Frank from PA. James from PA must be at work. Hey, Frank, how are you, sir?
Frank and PA. That's funny. Doc called me James when he quoted my tweet the other day on the think tank, too.
Well, what you don't know is that Doc and I have colluded to change your name.
I think that's it. I'll have to officially change it. A couple things. First of all, I've really enjoyed your tennis stories, and this is unusual because I lost interest in tennis a long time ago. I first developed an interest in tennis when I noticed a girl in my school named Dawn Garvey in her tennis skirt, and then I lost interest when I realized she wouldn't notice me if I was on fire. But I really liked your stories this season with the Wimbledon matches and the shirts, the towels. I mean, and the guy climbing into the skirt, that was just gold.
Oh, wasn't that just priceless? The guy who jumped into Kim Clijsters' skirt.
I was laughing driving down the road. Oh my! Getting on to what I called you about the repeal. Do you think that they finally got it? An understanding that they're not going to do anything if they don't actually do the clean repeal, or do you think they're going to try and twist it?
Well, I think
all they've done is twist it so far.
Well, and that's where the problem lies, is in the twisting. That and what Frank's talking about is with the health care bill effectively dead in the Senate, is there any chance that the GOP will go back to this straight repeal without any extra baggage? And Frank, I don't think so. And what I don't even I would tell your twin brother James the same thing. I don't think that I don't think they've learned their lesson, because what they're going to try and do, in my estimate here, is to someone's going to try and get Susan Collins on board, because she is the one who seems to just say, I'm not with this in any way, shape or form, which makes you wonder. Why she voted, if she voted. Did she vote the last time they voted to repeal? I need to double check on that.
I was hearing.
If she did vote to repeal and now she's changed, why? That's the question I want to ask. And that's the question that she should have to be asked publicly, because it really is. It's wrong for her to call herself a member of the GOP caucus. And I'm not calling her out and saying, why don't you leave? But who knows? She might. She certainly doesn't seem to vote like a Republican. But if they just took the bill that they passed the last time and ran it through, what would the problem be? That's what everybody needs to come out and say. Now, there's a meeting today. There is a big GOP meeting today. I know there's a lunch happening right now, but there's also a meeting happening later today around 4 o'clock. And I think out of that meeting, you will see all of the usual suspects gathered in the Capitol trying to wrangle some of the senators as they come out and try and get an idea as to what the hell they're going to do. So I'm guessing we're not going to hear a whole lot until later. But I'm very dubious that anything. If you heard the first half hour of the show, I kind of spiraled out a little bit.
I'm just tired of all the kabuki theater with the, oh, no, we're going to repeal, and we'll vote for it. And look, we voted for it, and then now you vote for us and keep us in and, keep more money, and it never happened. So,
and the sad part of it is,
if they
we
don't
vote
get some result, they're going to really look like fools.
Well, were you listening yesterday when I played the James Carville quote about the problem with health care?
I was. And I found that interesting, too. But he's a little bit of the devil there. I don't know whether to trust him or not.
No, of course he's got a Democratic agenda in mind. But what Carville said yesterday, if you weren't here, was that both sides should have known this, and the Democrats learned it. But when you pick up this thing called health care, it bites you. And look at what happened to Obama. Almost 1,000 seats lost nationally by Democrats after the passage of Obamacare. And this screw up by the Democrat, by the Republicans, could have the same kind of effect in 2018 on the House. The Senate's not so much at risk because of the numbers there. They don't have as many senators up for re-election. It's like 24-8. But we'll see. But,
you know, it will hurt them if they don't get the good results that need to be gotten. They need to bring down the cost of health care. And it's not a matter of health care. That's crap. This is a health insurance bill. Health care is the prices of health care are controlled by the arrangements that they have between the hospitals and the insurance companies.
Sure.
It was the involvement of government in the first place that drove up the price.
You're absolutely right. Hold on, Frank. I'm up against a hard wall. I gotta move on and take a break. But you're absolutely right that the cost in healthcare is not going to be fixed in this bill. It's going to be fixed when the government says we're not going to bail out the insurance companies. We got to fix. We'll be back after the break. Come on back.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. Checking on the phones. You know what? We will check in on the phones. It is 888-933-93-888-900-3393. John from Montana called last week and wanted to discuss the latest on the Charlie Gard situation. John, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic about Charlie Gard, but I'm, you know, pretty much negative about everything else today, if you've been listening.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling you there. And that was two things. On the Charlie Gard, I know last time I had misleading information. I'm glad you corrected me pretty smoothly, as far as him flying out or not. But I was reading, hopefully this is accurate, that the doctor had visited for 4.5 hours and actually gave him a higher chance initially thought. They actually gave him between 11% and 56% chance of recovering, not completely, of course, but at least to where he can maybe smile, recognize objects, and just, you know, give the parents a little bit of hope. And I just think, I know I'm a new father, and so, you know, for me personally, I would not, if my son was given that diagnosis, I would take any percentage chance to try anything. You know, I think in today's world, we all need hope. And if I was given a 0.0001% chance that he could get better, I would jump on it.
Of course you would. And you would go to your grave knowing that you did everything to try and help your child. And I think any parent would. Any parent would do that, and that's absolutely necessary. And what we're talking about, what John from Montana is talking about, is the case of Charlie Gard. There was an American doctor who flew out to basically estimate Charlie's chances if they take him out of this hospital and bring him back for this miracle treatment. And that situation, we're dealing with it here and trying to see what the news is going to be, because nobody knows where this is going. I still believe, John, and I hope I'm wrong. I still believe what the Brits are doing is playing a waiting game to try and see if Charlie will just die. And I think that's awful to think that way, but they certainly don't seem to have any sense of urgency in the case. And this kid has now been at the whim of the British legal system for 6 weeks, and it's just wrong.
And I don't see how they could possibly, you know, especially after getting a better prognosis from this doctor, and after, like I said before, all the outpouring, how the judge could possibly say no after all this time. I mean, it would just incense me, I know, and millions others. So I know I'm not alone in that. But, you know, I am glad that the doctor visited and the chances are higher. And I know the mother thanked profusely that doctor. But my other point I wanted to talk about, and it's kind of been just one of these things in the back of my mind that's been bothering me. And I know I told you I voted for Obama twice, and then I pulled the lever for Trump. And I share your sentiment as far as being frustrated, especially as a new conservative and a Trump voter. My fear is that I'm not going to be the only one that's going to be flinching every time Congress has a bill to pass or to get something done. Because I can tell you, when I was an Obama guy, I had this feeling that anything could get done, right? You know, when you're on the Democrat side and you've got cover from the media, you've got cover from the loudest voices in the country saying everything you say and do is right, you get this feeling that you can't be stopped. You know what I mean? That every program that's going to be put forward passes. Now, now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, let's get something done, anything done. And I couldn't be more frustrated because I'm on this side now, and my principles are strong, and I know it's a lot less about the president than it is the values, but he is the guy behind the desk, and I know it's on him. I know Congress is gridlocked, but I couldn't be more frustrated.
Well, you're not alone, and I think that's really, really the important point to understand here, John. And as a new guy to the conservative side of things, as a new member, imagine the frustration by the lifelong conservatives who thought on the morning of November 9th, when those of us survived that late night and finally got the announcement at 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and whatever hour it was, ridiculous hour, and we all looked at each other and we said, we have the House and the Senate and the White House. And think about the 8 years prior and all of the tolerance we had to get through it. And we thought, okay, let's go. Yeah. And now we're 179 days into this administration and we're sitting here saying, what's it going to take? What do we have to do? So I welcome you to the frustration zone along with those of us who who had 8 years of pent-up frustration because of the two votes you cast in the two prior elections. But
yeah. And I apologize profusely. But, I've changed my ways, and I just saw an article on Drudge about they're the least productive Congress in 146 years. I mean,
yeah, but sometimes that's not bad. You know, I'd rather have them not writing rules and regulations.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and it's like, but the things that we do want are getting done. I mean, so there are good things, and of course, lower immigration, stock market all-time high. I mean, it's like every day, bang, bang, bang. There are good things, but a lot of that is just because of, I think, of a confidence, of a feeling that people have. So, you know, deportations are happening, but people are staying in Mexico because of the talk. But there's going to come a point where the talk has to turn into action, you know, where it's like, what are we doing here? And the same thing with the stock market. Okay, people are feeling good. Consumer confidence is up. We are adding jobs, but we've got to break through. We've got to get a lot more done. And, I'm afraid for the midterms. I think he'll win the next election, but I just couldn't be more frustrated to be on the side and see it from this angle where it feels like there's not much support other than the American people pulling.
Yeah, this is John. This is the first time I've won and felt like I've lost in a long time. You know, And it's a terrible feeling. But while we've been talking, as we have been sitting here talking, there are now three senators who said they won't vote even to do a full repeal. So the repeal is dead. The repeal is dead, ladies and gentlemen. It's dead in the water. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to deal with Obamacare also dying, imploding on its own. And then this will be now hung on the necks of the GOP. And they're going to have to be the ones to say, fix it. And I will tell you, I believe this is the design that was made. Absolutely part of the design of Obamacare was for this to happen. So they got exactly what they wanted. If they weren't going to get Hillary, who would have immediately advanced it to single payer and immediately pushed, and you know that's what would have happened. If they weren't going to get Hillary, if they were going to be the Democrats, I'm talking about, if they were stuck with a GOP president and a GOP Congress, they know Obamacare was going to die on the vine and that it would be hanging around the necks of the GOP like this albatross. John, it's maddening. I know. I'm back in the spiral zone. Well done, sir. Phone call.
I was leery to call because of that. You know, he had a bad morning. He was berated by staff or whatever, and I was like, I don't want to do this, but I got to get this off my chest. And I also, I don't know what to do because, I mean, obviously I'm one person. You've got a million listeners. You know, we can do what we can do, but we need more. We need more people. We need to know if there's something we can do to change what's going on. Because like you said, universal health care could have happened easily if Hillary would have gotten in, and especially, of course, Bernie, which that was rigged. But, you know, I feel like this pendulum is going to swing back very hard if nothing happens on our side. If we can't do the things we say we're going to do, we're going to look like fools. And, you know, I don't want to look like a fool, and you don't want to look like a fool, and nobody does. And I know, especially Trump, I mean, Trump's a people pleaser. You know, he doesn't, he wants to get things done too, and I couldn't imagine anybody else more frustrated than him, but he just needs more people on his side, you know.
Well, you're right, but he also needs to do a few things, in my opinion, to make sure we stop shooting ourselves in the foot. If you heard my rant about Made in America Week, then you understand where I come from.
Absolutely. The number one, you know, on Facebook, the number one comment, this guy instantly says, you're talking Made in America while all of your products are made in China. And my messaging would be, and that's the other thing, is the messaging from the GOP is awful. You know, the messaging has to get better. Democrats are good at putting things into little sound bites. You know, they're good at chomping things down until they have, you know, ammo they can just pelt you with. Whereas, you know, there's so many factions of the GOP, there's moderate, you know, where it feels like Democrats are a bloc. They vote as a bloc.
Well, the Democratic leadership is good at rounding up their sheep and keeping them all in one category. There is a small split between the progressives and the center of the Democratic Party, but that's about it. I figure, and this is what I always tell everybody and I got to get to a break here. I'm sorry, John. When friends of mine say, how come your Republican friends can't agree on anything? I said, that's what happens when you get a room full of leaders. It's different when you have lions in one area and you've got sheep. I can control a herd of sheep with three dogs. Try and control a herd of lions with three dogs. It doesn't happen. John, I'm late for a break, but it's always a pleasure to talk. Right. We'll keep up on Charlie Gard. Don't give up on the party. We're just getting warmed up. That's what I'm saying, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Pure Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
I've been talking about Relief Factor for months now, and I've been telling you how it worked for me, and I've been telling you how all-natural Relief Factor helped me be able to be more active and get my life back. But don't take my word for it. Take Nicole's word for it, too. She's a a Blaze listener, Relief Factor user who stopped by the office.
I started getting numbing, like carpal tunnel, but then I started realizing it was all up in my shoulder. The cramping, the pain, it was almost unbearable. When I started taking Relief Factor, it just seemed like everything relaxed. And I'm able to stretch it out now. I'm able to work it out. I'm able to sleep. To me, it is a lifesaver.
Do you know when Nicole talks about I'm able to sleep, if you've ever had pain from inflammation that prevents you from sleeping, you know what a terrible feeling that is. So good for you, Nicole. Nicole did what I did. She called Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. I also went to relieffactor.com to check it out, and I got the 3-week quick start pack. It's $19.95. Most people see results in 7 to 10 days. Mine happened on day 8, and I'm still on the Relief Factor bus. So if you're in the same situation, you want all-natural, anti-inflammatory help, Relief Factor, relieffactor.com. Before I get out of here, I think I have enough time to play the statement from the president at their luncheon today.
But we haven't had a victory on health care. We're disappointed. I am very disappointed because, again, even as a civilian, for 7 years I've been hearing about healthcare, and I've been hearing about repeal and replace, and Obamacare is a total disaster. Some states had over a 200% increase, a 200% increase in their premiums, and their deductibles are through the roof. It's an absolute disaster. And I think you'll also agree that I've been saying for a long time, let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together and fix it. And come up with a new plan and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs, and much better protection. I've been saying that, Mike, I think you'll agree, for a long time. Let Obamacare fail. It'll be a lot easier. And I think we're probably in that position where we'll just let Obamacare fail. We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it. We'll let Obamacare fail, and then the Democrats are going to come to us, and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan?
So there you have it. The president of the United States. How many times did he say we're going to let Obamacare fail? No fewer than 4. Might have been 5. We'll keep you updated on this. Of course, the Democrats are now outraged. Outraged, saying it's irresponsible he would let it fail. You built it. You broke it. Why should we buy it? We'll be back after the break.
Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka. On the Blaze Radio Network. This is Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka.
Only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Oh, boy. Third hour, Pure Opelka. We are we're backed up on stories because I got knee-deep into a couple of them. But still an hour to go and much to talk about. 888-900-3393 is the phone number. 888-900-3393. We don't have to worry about the repeal of Obamacare because that's dead now. Yes, between the time we started the show and pretty much the bottom of the hour, we heard that there are now 3 GOP senators who are saying, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to make it happen. So there will be no repeal. We will have to do, as the president said, we will have to deal with the meltdown, the complete meltdown of Obamacare, and then we will be stuck with cleaning up the mess. We will be the ones charged with handling it. So, I'm not happy about this. And despite the fact that the president said, no, it's not going to be our problem. It's going to be somebody else's problem. Despite the fact that he said it's not going to be on us, guess what? It's going to be on us. Because you're the one driving the bus right now, sir. You're the one who made the promise. You're the one who said, yeah, we're going to do that. And now, no, you're not going to do that. So as much as you want to not have the responsibility for it, it's going to be really difficult to throw this on somebody else. Really. So don't try. Don't even try. I mean, you can try and try, but you can't really try because it's a mess. It is everywhere. Obamacare is insidious. And we hired thousands of new IRS agents because the collection of the Obamacare taxes was going to be a big deal. That tells you just how deep Obamacare is into the government. It's not about health care. It's about control. It's not about the maybe 10 million people who would really lose their health care. Because if you watch the news coverage today, I actually saw at about 10 o'clock this morning, I actually saw a sliver of truth on CNN. And the sliver on truth on CNN had to do with what would happen if the GOP repealed Obamacare, just crushed it. What would happen? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. They say that 18 million people would lose coverage. And Christina Romans, the woman who actually is pretty good with reporting on health and on financial stuff, predominantly financial stuff. Christine Romans said the majority of those people who would lose coverage do it consciously because guess what? They don't want to be forced to buy insurance. So by eliminating the mandate, because Obamacare no longer is around if you repeal it, those people will no longer be forced to buy coverage. So when you're hearing from your liberal friends, well, you know, when Obamacare dies, there's going to be 20 million people losing coverage. First of all, it's closer to 18. And secondly, those are the people who would have said, oh, we're not going to get the coverage because there's no longer a government leaning over us, telling us you have to buy this. What was the comment? Was it Mike Lee who made the comment this morning? It's like the government telling you you have to buy a certain car. No, that's not the way this goes. So I'm at a loss for where this goes next. The president said we're going to let it die. And if they do let it die, I think there are problems that we can watch unfold. But it is going to be stuck on the GOP. Because you know what the Democrats are going to say? Well, you didn't support it. You didn't give us enough money to keep it alive. We don't have the money, kids. We don't have the money to keep it alive. So I'm sorry, but the repeal is dead. The replacement is dead. Can we get on to something else? Can we get on to something that might help people? I've never understood exactly why we had to get Obamacare done in order to get tax reform. So it's on you, Donald Trump, and it's on you. Thanks to I just saw this on Twitter. We talk about who's going to get the responsibility for this. It is on you, Donald Trump, from 2013. Thanks to my colleague, Kate Scanlon, in the Blaze newsroom. Donald Trump tweeted long before he was candidate Trump, long before he was the GOP nominee Trump, long before he was President Trump. This is almost 4 years ago. Donald Trump tweeted, leadership, whatever happens, you're responsible. If it doesn't happen, you're responsible. Seriously, does anybody have any questions? Anybody on this? No, good. Let's put healthcare reform to bed. Let's just understand that we are now officially on the road to Obamacare melting down and the actual mission of Obamacare moving forward towards single-payer healthcare, because that's what's going to be forced upon all of us. That's what's going to happen. And can we just get to the real important thing here? And that's what happened in Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort's meeting with those Russians. Because that's next on the agenda. That's where all of the cameras are going to go next. Now that we've learned the identity of the eighth man, Ike Cavaladze, is that his name? I have no idea who this guy is. He's the eighth person at the meeting. The Washington Post has identified him. You're going to be hearing all about him coming up. We're going to find out. They're going to be profiling him. They're now finding pictures of this guy in all, many background shots. And you're going to see who he is. But this is a guy who immigrated to the United States, reportedly from Russia in 1991. He set up accounts. Apparently, thank you, Citibank, for the information. He apparently opened more than 2,000 corporations here in the state of Delaware. Well, we'll see that. I'm sure we're going to find out what's going on here. He did this for Russian brokers, then opened up bank accounts for him without knowing who owned the corporations, according to the report of the General Accounting Office. This report apparently not made public. So this one, mystery man, attendee number 8, going to be very interesting to see. And as I said, they're starting to find pictures of this guy now at a private dinner in 2013 with Donald Trump. So expect more on this. We just did hear from the Special Investigations Office that next week, Don Jr. and Paul Manafort will be allowed to testify publicly. So when there is a public testimony, we'll be able to see it. Isn't that going to be fun? Craziness. I know it's crazy. I promise you some more real crazy stories, and we will get into that just around the corner. But I have to share with you something. I just saw this today. Yesterday, there was a story that that Donald Trump's border wall had been funded, or at least someone had in one of the bills, the budgets they're working on. There was $1.6 billion allocated to starting construction of Donald Trump's wall on the southern border. Jose Serrano, New York representative, a guy who during Obama's tenure, Obama's 8 years in the White House, Serrano had one job he would do pretty much every year, and that was submit a change in the law so that a president could be in office for more than 2 terms or more than 8 years. He wanted Barack Obama to be his president forever and ever and ever. And he would love him and feed him and take care of him forever and ever, George. Yes, he would. So Jose Serrano speechifying today, talking about the border wall. And he comes up with another brilliant Jose Serrano statement.
We should never build a wall to keep people out. Should it deal with an immigration issue? Yes, but never, ever, ever build a wall. On the contrary, build another Statue of Liberty on the southern border. That's our message to the world, that statue, not the wall. And again, the wall would cost billions of dollars. It'll be a waste of money. It'll divide us. It'll divide our country, our rhetoric, our comments, and that's what we'll become. So
let's talk about who's dividing our country. Let's talk about who is part of the division. Let's talk about who's obstructing the government and the president from getting his appointees cleared. 45 days it's taking Donald Trump, average, to get his choices. The longest ever. I think, well, the longest in the last seven presidents, I think we saw. And first of all, the Statue of Liberty, we didn't build it. It was a gift from our friends in France. And it's also a signal that when you come here, you choose to come here to be a part of America, not to be a part from America. It is about, as Emma Lazarus told us in the poem, The New Colossus, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, not yearning to come here and suck off the government teat and live separately. It's not about that. It's about being a part of America, not a part from America, Jose Serrano. It is about a constitution that, thank God, was not amended to your whims and wishes so that your dream of an emperor named Obama, a king named Obama, could be crowned. Thank God that constitution exists. So no, we're not going to build a second Statue of Liberty on the southern border. We've already got a giant welcome mat. We'll be right back.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right. I got to get into some of the weird stuff here. Some of the things I talked about. I'm serious about what I just said about Serrano and the Democrats. I feel the division is coming from them. I'll get to the silly stuff. Just a second. I gotta get this out. Joanne Reed over the weekend made a statement on her show on MSNBC talking about Republicans being a party that started with hate. Well, let's not forget, Joanne Reed, while you're rewriting history, which party ended slavery and which party pushed through the Civil Rights Act over the objections of people like the myriad Democrats in the South who were dreaming of keeping the black man down. Let's understand the truth about President Johnson and his final realization that he was going to sign the Civil Rights Act only because it would keep black people voting for Democrats forever. It's kind of frightening when you look back on the real truth. I got to get to this story. Doppelganger. Are you someone who would want to date a person who looked like someone else? Are you someone who believes that there are twins out there? If you let's say you we had this argument today off air with some people. This obsession with the royal family, which I really don't get. I honestly don't understand it. I completely mystified by the way people melt when a member of the royal family has a child. And it's, oh, look at the little boy or the little girl or whatever. So what? Babies are born every day and they're all adorable and they all deserve to be loved. This one's got platinum spoons in his mouth. They're going to be adored and live in castles and have attendants. That's no miracle. That's just the luck of the draw. But maybe, you know, some of these princes and princesses are attractive people. There are people that seem to like celebrities. Would you ever date someone because they looked like a celebrity? Would you? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought, wow, I am so obsessed with blank, 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 that I would want to date somebody that looked like them? I would feel like that would be that would be kind of lying to that person. That would be dating them or coveting them based on a false pretense. But maybe that's what somebody wants to live their life that way. But now there's an app for that. Seriously. I caught this morning on the Today Show.
Celebrity crushes. I mean, I don't know anyone who does, but let's just say, right?
Yes, right.
What if there were a searchable app? Let's say you're on a dating site.
Okay.
And you can say, like, my type is so-and-so. You can search, and they will find the people on the dating app that look like that celebrity.
That's so smart.
It's brilliant, right?
I'm a little creepy.
Yeah. Creepy, yeah.
Interesting that the two women, Hoda Kotb and I forget the other woman's name, found it interesting and fascinating, but the two men, Willie Geist and Al Roker, both said, it's kind of creepy. The women found it interesting. The men found it creepy. It continues.
A little. Wow. Could be.
Okay.
It exists, people.
Let's see.
Our prayers have been answered. Well, not ours. We're all married. Badu lookalikes. if Kim Kardashian is your type, okay, you search it, and then they will give you, these are actual people on the site who look like Kim Kardashian, they say. They do like facial recognition.
Now, interestingly enough, the Kim Kardashian choices that they have for you, if you say, hey, I want somebody who looks like Kim Kardashian, they're only showing the faces. And I think that a lot of guys who seem to appreciate the Kim Kardashian look, it's more than just the face for them. I'm just saying, there might be some other, what's the right word? Assets? Yes, that's the right word. How about the men?
Obama is the number one searched man for the site.
Wow.
There's some lookalikes there.
Yeah,
some serious
lookalikes.
So the number one most searched lookalike, famous person lookalike in the mail department is Barack Obama. And if you go to the Badoo app, Badoo app, you can see it for yourself. And there are some ones who look like Barack Obama. But where are you on this? Is this creepy? Or is this a good idea? Would you ever date somebody because they look like somebody famous? Would you? See, I would think it'd be fun to like bring him to a party and not tell anybody, you know. You know what I'm saying. Just kind of have somebody hanging out with you who looks like, if they really look like a very famous person, just say, no, I've never noticed that. I didn't see that. Kind of strange, right? Badu, doppelganger, date a doppelganger. I don't know. I think there's something very flawed in this. I think there's something really strange. And yet, I want to talk to the people who would do it. Is it you? 888-900-3393. 888-900-3393. Would you date a doppelganger? And if so, who would it be? Come on back.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Welcome back to Pure Opelka. Before we went away, we were talking about this weird app. It's actually a social media connecting app called Badoo, Badoo. It's been around for a while, but they just added a new twist to it where you can date your doppelganger if you want to date. Remember that episode of Seinfeld where he had this whirlwind romance with Janine Garofalo, and they finally went, you're dating yourself. And he's like, oh, I'm dating myself. Oh, my God. But the story here is that this dating app, the Today Show had this segment on, and I was watching it earlier, and I thought, that's creepy. That's really creepy. And yet, initially, the two women on the Today Show segment were like, this is kind of cool. And then the guys basically gave him the dose of reality going, no, it's creepy. And then Hoda finally said, yeah, if somebody actually said I'm dating you because you look like, that would be a little creepy. Interestingly enough, number one, Kim Kardashian, the top male is Barack Obama. And coming in at number 10, a bunch of men who they say look kind of like Donald J. Trump. So I guess there is a desire to maybe connect with or be with somebody who looks like the president of the United States. Would you? Would you ever in a bazillion years date somebody because consciously date somebody because they look like somebody famous? Now, for years and years and years, my dad looked like Spiro Agnew, the disgraced vice president in the Nixon administration. And Agnew, not a good guy, not my dad's choice of people to look like, but he had nothing to do with it. And there was a time when my mother did not want my father going to Baltimore or anywhere in Maryland because Agnew was not a popular guy. My dad grew out of it and eventually ended up looking more like George Washington to me than anything else. But, I don't know anybody who really looks like a famous person, nor is there a famous person I think I would want to have dated just because they look like that person. I hope I'm not that shallow, but maybe there are people out there. Now, I think some of the crew in Dallas was busy downloading the app as we were in commercials. Come on, no shyness here. Ellie, are you, you've got your phone there and you downloaded the Badu app. Join the conversation,
yes,
please.
Yes, I did.
Are you, you're on mic then. Everybody can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, good. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
You haven't talked to him.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. Hello, pure Opelka stunt brainiacs. Ellie pushes the buttons, keeps me on track, make sure I'm following the time, et cetera, et cetera. Now, are you a millennial? Are you a snowflake era person? What age group do you fall into?
Yes, I would say millennial.
Okay, so you're a millennial. Have you ever used a dating app before?
A time or two, but I'm terrible with technology, so I'll get on it and then forget I have it.
Well, glad you're in this business, you know, where we have a high-tech connection from Delaware to Dallas and then back out to the entire world. I'm happy you're here.
I guess I would say social media-wise.
Okay, social media-wise. But so you've had some experience with this. Are you currently a single person?
Yes.
Okay. So if you were to put, would you ever... I don't know anything about Ellie, so I'm running totally blind here, people. Would you ever want to date somebody who looked like a famous person?
It depends.
Like, who would it be? Which famous person?
I don't know. Like, Jennifer. I don't know. It'd have to be like, I don't know. It's more than just what they look like. It's about their personality, too.
Of course it is. I'm with you on that, because I think it would be kind of creepy just to say, oh, I would like to go out with somebody who looks like, but do you have a type? If you would say I've dated X number of people in my life, is there a type among them?
I guess so. I never really thought about it.
That's why you're so
okay, this wow. I don't know if y'all can hear them in the background. Yeah.
Are they critiquing you in the background?
Yeah. They're like, that's why you're still single.
Now, tell them to stop, and they're not being brave enough to open up their lives on the air here. So did you put in your face, and then do they show you people who look like you?
Yes. I think it goes off the picture that you post on there, and then it kind of finds people that kind of look like you based off that picture.
So of the people who look like you, how accurate was it?
Some looked fairly accurate, but then again, it started throwing in guys in there. So I don't know how much I trust it.
What would happen if, and this is a total experiment, what would happen if you were to take like a headshot of Glenn Beck and put it in and see if there were any people who look like Glenn Beck on the app?
I could do that just to kind of see, because I know they have options where you can kind of pick like celebrities to see like what other people that are on this app look like them. And one of it was Donald Trump and Justin Bieber and like a bunch of celebrities.
See, I think there'd be a lot of people, primarily younger people, who would want to date somebody who looked had a look like a celebrity that they liked. I'm just saying. I think that's that's part of it. I could see that, but I just wonder if we put in, can you put in the name of a celebrity and see if people look alike come up?
I think so. Give me a random celebrity.
Put Glenn Beck in there. GLENNBECK. I might get fired for doing this.
Yeah, there he is.
So they've got... Glenn is in there? And are there people that look like Glenn?
Kind of, yeah. There's some people.
How many?
It's really interesting. There's like a lot of people that are on here, but not all of them look like him. They have some features of their face that kind of looks similar, but some of them are just kind of like, he looks nothing like Glenn.
Well, there were a couple of the Donald Trump who looked nothing like Donald Trump on that list too, but I guess Whoa. It was going off hair.
Here's a couple guys that look just like Glenn. Oh my gosh, this is so weird.
See, now this would be a place where if I were Glenn Beck, and I know it's safe because he's not listening. If I were Glenn Beck, I would have my security detail go on the site, find a bunch of people who look just like me, and use them when I needed lookalikes.
Oh, that's true.
I think that could be very helpful. All right, you'll notice I was smart enough not to have downloaded the app on my own phone because I think it's something that I could... You just don't want that app floating around. Yeah, especially if you're a married person. I don't think that's a good idea. But fascinating. Could you screen cap the Glenn Beck lookalikes and send me a copy so I can see what they look like?
Yes, I can do that.
And I won't put any of your identifying information out there, but I would love to see what some of the Glenn Beck lookalikes who are on this celebrity doppelganger dating app look like. And we'll put it on the Twitter as well, just to have a little fun. Because after doing this, might be my last show ever on the network. We'll see. But just a little distraction from today's crazy news about the death of any effort to repeal, replace, and even repeal Obamacare. It's over, Johnny. Give it up. Mike Opelka on Pure Opelka. We'll be back to wrap up and have a little more silliness next.
You're listening to Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
This is Pure Opelka with Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.
I jumped the gun. Welcome back to Pure Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network. Before we get out of here, I will get back to some of the some of the date a doppelganger options for anyone looking to date a Glenn Beck lookalike. But I have to tell you, look, there's finally some common sense and really clear and smart thinking in the world of life insurance. You're looking for life insurance, then you have to check out our client, our newest sponsor, Health IQ. If you go to healthiq.com/blaze, healthiq.com/blaze, it is a place where you can get a free quote on life insurance. Now, here's the kicker on healthiq.com. They are so smart. They said, look, life insurance companies haven't been fair. They haven't taken into account your health consciousness, your ability to live a better life. The way that you may be smarter about things should give you a break in life insurance. And after years of putting together the data, the insurance companies finally said, you're right. These people are better risks for us and we should give them better rates. So tens of thousands of people have been helped by our friends at healthiq.com/blaze. Go to healthiq.com/blaze. Take the quiz. You know, it's about how much you know about healthy living. And then you'll have a phone call with somebody who talks more about your lifestyle, and then they can say, based on your health knowledge and your health lifestyle, what kind of rate they can get you from major carriers. I'm in the middle of the process. Hope to give you my results soon, but I will tell you the rate I got, absolutely killer. Absolutely spot on. So go to healthiq.com/blaze, take the test, get that special life insurance rate for you, your family. Do it for your family. That's why I'm doing it. Now back to the madness of the day here. Yes, healthcare, the repeal, the replacement, dead in the water. Exactly what I told you was going to happen just happened. The Senate got out of its meeting, and a bunch of senators came out and speechified briefly. I thought Rand Paul was brilliant in his turn to the cameras and saying, if you voted against it before, and now you're saying I won't vote against it, or if he's saying if you voted to repeal before, but you're now against it, you need to go home to your district and tell your people in your state why you won't, why you can't support repeal now. Pretty strong words out of Rand Paul. And then, of course, Chuck Schumer did exactly what we told you he was going to do. Chuck Schumer came out and said, this is why we need Republicans to come to us and help us out. This is why the Republicans have to come to the table. And Amy Klobuchar was doing the same thing. Absolutely the same thing. The Democrats are taking this as a victory lap, a gigantic victory lap. It's sickening. It really is sickening because you had everything, GOP, and you squandered the opportunity. Squandered the opportunity. Absolutely missed it. So boo on you, GOP. You blew it. All right, before we went away, we were talking about this dating app from Badu, and it has a new thing that they've just put into the app that allows you to date a celebrity doppelganger. If you would like to date somebody who looks like somebody famous, that's what this is all about. So did you look it up? Our own Ellie did, and I had her put in the name Glenn Beck just to see what it would look like. And I will tell you, it came up with something like 89 different people that are on the site that apparently, based on their face recognition software, look like Glenn Beck. At least that's what they're telling us. I'm not so sure about all of that, but I can tell you this. When you look at it, they have 818 Glenn Beck lookalikes. I can tell you, though, however, looking at it, I only see like two who really kind of look like Glenn. And I'm gonna post one of them, and you can tell me. I'll put it online. You can tell me if you think it looks like Glenn Beck. Then, yes, this very may well be my final day on the Blaze Radio if Glenn sees this. I think it's pretty funny. And tomorrow we'll ask if any of you went on and looked to see if you could find a celebrity doppelganger. But I really want to know, if you found somebody and actually went on a date with them, would you tell them? Would you tell them why you picked them? Do you think they know that that's who they look like? I'm just wondering. Be very interesting little social experiment here. We'll get into it tomorrow. We'll take a look at it tomorrow, and you can tell us. Be honest. Would you date a celebrity doppelganger? Kind of a funky question, right? We'll hopefully have the answer. Now, where do we go from here? Well, there's going to be another meeting today. Hopefully, we'll be able to hear some plans from the GOP to do something to get us back on track. Remember when we were promised we would be winning so much, we'd be sick of winning? Is anybody sick of winning yet? No, I'm kind of sick of being embarrassed and being angry about it. So I'm just saying. Thanks for being here today. I appreciate each and every one of you. And we will be back tomorrow to tee it up. I got a couple surprises to talk about from Freedom Fest. Steve Forbes might join us. We'll see. And a couple other surprises, but you have to be here to find out. Testudo, my friends. Testudo.
Pure Opelka.
With Mike Opelka on the Blaze Radio Network.